So let's have a look at the talks. It's been a long night up there. The talks have been going on since yesterday. Well, they've been going on a lot longer than since yesterday, haven't they? I think we're into week, what is it, 11 now. Parties have spent the last few hours waiting for the UK government to give them a new heads of agreement document, which covers all the issues in the talks. We can speak to our BBC political editor, Mark Devenport, in a moment or two. The Alliance Party negotiator, Stephen Farry, is with us. Good morning to you, Stephen.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. So what's happening? Is there deal or no deal?
Well, at this stage, we're just waiting to be called together by the governments to receive a new heads of agreement paper, which may well form the basis of a deal of some sorts. So I think there is some degree of positivity around today, but I think from our perspective, we would have a concern that it's not going to be comprehensive enough in terms of addressing all of the issues that are out there that can trip us up. I mean, we know the context to these talks. There's been a lot of issues out there that have been causing instability, and we've had a lack of trust and partnership between the parties on the executive. And you mentioned that these talks have been running for several weeks. We have to bear in mind this is probably the third talks process we've had in the past 12 months. We've had the Haas process and a party leaders process. We had a process that was abandoned in July after only a matter of days, and now we're into this process itself. So I think people are getting fed up with the politicians constantly talking around these issues, and I think it's time now that we bring some degree of resolution to them.
Yeah, so help me understand this insofar, Stephen, is it's been made pretty clear that unless all of the issues are sorted, none of the issues will be sorted. So if you're worried that there is not a comprehensive deal on the table, then surely that means there's not going to be a deal.
Well, I think realistically we're not going to have every issue solved, and whenever people talk about comprehensive, I mean, I think that they're talking really about a broad agreement that covers a range of issues.
So what issue do you think is going to remain unsolved?
Well,
unresolved.
I think where we would have concerns is perhaps around things like parades and flags, issues that have been causing tension on the streets, that have been costing us money in terms of the policing costs in that regard. They have the potential to cause real difficulties in terms of political stability within the political institutions. And so it's important that we have genuine solutions, that we're not seen to be simply kicking the can down the road or creating new processes for dealing with those. I think people really should be expecting to see a finality at this stage.
So as you say it at the minute, Stephen, if this is going to get across the line, it's going to mean parking flags and parades, is it?
Well, we would have a concern. It's maybe not the case that the issues are parked as such, but they're not fully resolved, that there's more work still to be done. We've been talking through these issues for many years. I mean,
but what I mean, Stephen, sorry, just to be clear, what I mean is parking, finding agreement on flags and parades. So you've done your best. All of the parties have sat down. They've tried to work a way through. But in order to get this deal done, flags and parades, you'll all have to agree to look at it at another time. Is that where we are?
Well, let's look at the issue of flags, for example. I mean, if you go back to even to the Haas documentation from last year, the proposal there was to set up a commission to discuss flags.
An identity around flags.
We've barely touched flags at all in this process, so you can take it as read that there's not going to be a resolution around the issue of flags. And in the past, that has caused a lot of tension. In the very near future, it could cause further tension.
So the deal could be to set up a commission.
Yeah, but I mean, that's further discussions on the issue.
You were about to say that's a talking shop there.
Yeah, well, pretty much. We have, I think we know the issues around flags. I mean, we haven't lacked debate. We haven't lacked articulation of people's point of view around this. It may well be a difficult issue.
So you're saying to me...
Difficult doesn't mean we don't solve it.
So you're saying to me, Stephen, flags haven't really been discussed at all?
Not in this process. There's been a very heavy focus for obvious reasons around budget and welfare issues. There's been a real genuine effort, I have to say, about trying to find a resolution around how we deal with the past, and we'll see later on this morning if we've actually made a breakthrough in that regard. But flags has not been discussed in any meaningful way.
And what about parades, Stephen? On parades, will it be the NIO taking the initiative?
Well, again, again, there hasn't been the same degree of discussion around parades as other issues. Now, we will see whether we do get some degree of breakthrough on parades over the coming hours, so we'll keep an open mind in that regard.
Are you optimistic?
But this has been complicated by the issue about the appointment of a panel for North Belfast, which has coloured and confused the situation around negotiations, where the two unionist parties haven't really been willing to negotiate pending the resolution of the North Belfast issue. So that has complicated the issue. So, obviously, it was them who were actually pushing for reform of the Parades Commission most strongly. And it's a bit of a paradox in that regard.
Clearly, Stephen, money is very much important here. It's at the very, very heart of whether this can all work or not. Where's that? Are you optimistic of getting the same, of getting a significant amount of money out of the British government?
Well, discussions are still ongoing in that regard, and I think we do have a very particular case to make in Northern Ireland around getting funding to meet our special circumstances. Obviously, how we deal with the past is perhaps the most clear cut in all of those. But also, given that we have made progress around welfare, I think it's important that that is factored in and recognised by the UK government.
Yeah, let's walk through the money issue, because the BBC were reporting yesterday, Stephen, as you know, that it's £1.5 billion on offer, £1 million of that in loans, £1 billion of that in loans. When would that £1 billion have to be paid back? Over what time period?
Well, Stephen, I'm very reluctant to get into details. I mean, things may have been leaked, but you have to appreciate that is leaked is a time specific.
Sure, but that's out there, Stephen, right? So that's out there. You're not revealing that. We're reporting it. Sources are telling us it's £1.5 billion.
And of course, but those situations can evolve, and that's what happens in negotiations. So while you may have a leaked document from a certain time period, that may have evolved. But
has it got better?
That remains to be seen. We are waiting to hear back from Treasury. But one of the things I would say, Stephen, is that we are clear in terms of the type of issues that we want to be addressing. So, yes, I mean, the issue about how we can use our borrowing powers to fund a voluntary exit scheme, redundancy scheme, to allow us to rebalance between the public and private sectors has been something the parties have been pushing quite strongly. And again, that fits into our particular circumstances where we haven't had the same opportunity as other societies to rebalance our economy over the past number of decades because of our violence and divisions.
So I think I'm understanding this, but let me get my head around it. So some of the £1 billion that we would be borrowing would be helping us pay the redundancy payments, would it?
Yes, that's. I mean, the pitch around some of the additional borrowing power is very, and what has been offered in the past has been around facilitating our ability to resource that restructuring, because obviously there's a lot of upfront costs that would be a major distortion in our budget, which is difficult to bear, and you can't actually generate the savings until slightly further down the process.
Yeah, but those savings, Stephen, so that means pretty large scale public sector job cuts. Yes, they would be voluntary redundancies, but essentially what you're saying is that the political parties in Northern Ireland think that the public sector is bloated, because if you can make those cuts and that's how you're going to save money, you're not replacing those people, so you're getting rid of them by their voluntary redundancy. But logic would follow. You therefore think the public sector is bloated.
Well, I wouldn't go down using the term bloated, because I think it's important that we recognise we are talking about people's jobs here and the contribution that they make. I would certainly say that we have an imbalance between the size of our public sector and our private sector. And in the context where we do have to make cuts across the board, we have to look at the issues around the size and scale of our workforce and see how we can make efficiencies in the same way that we have to look in terms of the public services that we provide.
Yeah, but can you maintain the level of service from public services while making those cuts, while taking so many people out of the public system?
And I think what a lot of ministers will be trying to do is to see how they can do the most with the resources they have to protect the frontline delivery of services. Obviously, you can't deliver services without staff, but if there's different ways of doing it, if there's more efficient ways of doing it, I think that's where myself and most of my colleagues will be seeing what we can do differently.
Are you confident this is going to get over the line today?
I'm positive. I think that there will be some degree of agreement amongst the parties over the course of today. So I think people can be optimistic in that regard. But I think equally we have to be very conscious that people have become very cynical about the performance of the Assembly and the Executive. And while under devolution there's been a lot of individual good things that have happened, I mean, the dominant narrative has been one of bickering, division, failure to address a lot of the big issues. And we, on your show and on other forums, we see that cynicism coming across. So there's a real test and challenge for the politicians here. I would be concerned that we leave some issues unaddressed and they trip us up in the future. And it's also important that we are seen to deliver. This has to be a genuine start and a real change in terms of attitude from the political parties. This can't be a one-off. This has to be a real turning point for the devolved institutions.
Is it your instinct that David Cameron has been as generous as he could be?
I think that's one of the concerns we've had, that he hasn't really recognised the special case that has been made. Obviously, there's a task at work for the Executive to show that we are running our budgets as efficiently as we can. That has not always been the case. But it's also important that the UK government recognises that there are some very particular circumstances in Northern Ireland. We're not looking for some sort of subsidy to paper over the cracks of our inefficiency. We have to recognise that what we're looking for is money to drive reform and change in this society. But to give an example, I mean, we're burying a lot of money that funds different services for different parts of the community, for example, in education. If we can actually reform and invest much more in, for example, integrated schools, we can, in due course, find savings. From removing a lot of duplication.
And give this
that
to
type of process we need to be supporting.
You know, I don't get very many Christmas cards from politicians, Stephen, so give me this as your Christmas gift to the Nolan Show this year, okay? Just go this far with me. So we were reporting yesterday, this is my final question, we were reporting yesterday this £1.5 billion offer. Can you just give me a steer as to whether you expect that to be improved upon? Is that where we're at?
Well, I think that is a piece of work that is still ongoing, and I think that there's still some degree of clarity that we need to see in that regard. I think there's an onus on the parties themselves to show that we can reach as broad an agreement as we possibly can, and in doing so, I think we will then get a more favourable response from the UK government. These two things are fundamentally interrelated. So I think with the goodwill and demonstration of our intent, we may well get a better indication from the UK government as well.
Okay. Have a nice Christmas, Stephen.
And the same to you, Stephen.
Thank you.